Shall we stand as we sing? As much as possible, would you kneel with me in prayer? O God, our eternal and holy Father, hallowed be thy name, Lord. We pray thee this night you will accept of our gratitude and our thanksgiving for the multitude of blessings that we daily enjoy, have received at thy hand. We thank thee for a Savior who would come to earth and take upon himself this frail clay, who would die for the children of men, his creation. We thank thee, Lord, for thy love and for his love and thy grace bestowed into our lives day by day. This evening, as we gather here, Father, we do so to hear once again thy word preached, the saving word of Jesus Christ. We pray thee, Father, that you will be with our brother as he stands in the pulpit of this congregation tonight to minister the words of truth and life, that he might be led by thy Holy Spirit, that you would give him liberty and freedom of thought, of word and expression, of application of thy holy word to our daily life. And help us, Father, that as these words enter into our awareness and consciousness, that by the power of your Holy Spirit they might sink deeply into our beings to work within us that which is pleasing to thee. We pray for our brothers and sisters who stand in need, Lord, each and every one, those present and those not with us this night. Be with the sick and the afflicted, we do pray. Lift them up and bless them. Be with those who are traveling upon life's highways at this time. Be with those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We pray, Father, for each one of thy children. You know them each and every one, their individual needs. Bless them, we do pray. Be with us this night, Father, with the presence of your Holy Spirit, that we might be edified, our minds guided and directed into ways of truth and righteousness. And so we commit ourselves in these few precious moments into thy care and keeping, asking it and giving thanks to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now be favored with a special number. Thank you, Daniel, for that beautiful song about our Lord Jesus Christ. We like to invite people from cold and hostile environments to come here to sunny Arizona, where they can catch the flu and speak to us as they're recovering. Our brother Bob Ely is a resident of Grand Junction, Colorado. We're happy to have him with us, and we're happy when we have the opportunity to go there. This evening, he will bring to us the Word of God, so let's give him our careful and our prayerful attention. Brother Bob Ely.
Thank you, Don. And thanks for the special. It wasn't one of my gifts to be able to sing, but it was a gift to me to know that I can't sing so I don't bother other people with it. And, you know, I think we have three kinds of people here in Phoenix today. Those that have got the flu, those that are getting over the flu, and those that are getting ready to get the flu. So we need to pray for all of them. And I, as you well know, in Grand Junction, we're preparing to build an addition to our church. And I think we've progressed rather well. I started in January last year to get permits. And about September 15th, I finally got a permit to start building the church. I think that most of the people in the planning department, the building department, the health department, the tax department, the road department, probably all know me by name by now. And I'm sure a lot of them may wish that they didn't know. But I try to be kind to every one of them. But we have progressed rather well, and we have it enclosed, a roof on, and when we get the plumbing done, then we can continue with the rest of it. We made pretty good progress so far. We found good people to help us in the construction. And that has been a great blessing to us. As Enid said, that she doubted if the framer realized that the Lord said it to us. But I believe that he did. I happen to have known of him, and I contacted him, and he's been a blessing to us. And I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very happy to be here, even though I am about 60% of what I was about 10 days ago. That's better than being 40%. And being 100% 10 days ago is probably about 50% of what I was 20 years ago. And I want to tell you a little story before I start. A fellow up in... I happened to be in a mine office in Kemmerer, Wyoming. And this fella told this story. And incidentally, I started to tell a story one time, and the other mine safety man there says, "Hey, wait just a minute. Let Rex, what?" Oh, I said, "A story I tell, you can set your niece by your grandmother and be safe, the story I'm going to tell." So they let me tell stories up there now. But he told me a story, and we know this, it can't be true. But it kind of gives us a value of what people think of sometimes. This fellow came to the pearly gates and stood there with St. Peter, and he had a big sack with him. Carrying it in is pretty heavy. And he says, "You can't bring that in here." He says, "Oh, yes, I can. I've got permission." "Well, now, nobody brings things in here. But I've got permission." So they said, "Well, let's call the head office and see if you can bring that bag in with you." So they called the head office, and they said, "You know, that's right, you can bring it in." So he brought it in and set it down, and St. Peter says, "Now, what is so valuable that you have had to bring this into the pearly gates, into heaven?" And he opened it up, and there was gold coins, hundreds of them. And St. Peter says, "You brought paving?" So I guess some things aren't as valuable as we think they might be. Anyway, I want to speak a little bit tonight. We must be obedient to expect the blessings that the Lord has for us. And God expects this really of us, to be obedient. And what does it take to be obedient? I'm going to read a few things here. I like to read in Proverbs, but I often think, you know, we send dogs to obedience school. Does everybody send a dog to obedience school? They didn't tell me they've got obedience schools for horses. And you know, I think it'd be a good idea sometimes to send some people to obedience schools. We don't have any yet that I know of, but the Scripture tells us a lot of things that we should do. And I'm going to read quite a bit from Proverbs tonight. If my voice don't give out or I don't faint and fall, which I don't plan to do. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, I'm going to read a verse here, the sixth verse in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think of how important this is. Train them up. Now, when do you start training? I remember my Uncle Mart Smith, great uncle, mother's uncle, and when Patsy was a few months old, I asked Uncle Mart Smith, I says, when do you start training a child? He says, when they do what you don't want them to do. That's when you start. When they're doing something you don't want them to do. I'm going to read here in the 15th verse of this same chapter. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I often think of a child, of raising them up, and oftentimes, I guess it begins the law now, but I remember a little switch about this long, smaller than the size of a lead pencil, that you'd get the attention of a 3 or 4 year old child and convince them that what they was doing wasn't right. But I also remember when we search the Scripture, we are all children of God. So maybe all of us need some of this correction, as well as the small children, the older children, and the adults. It says here, he that oppresses the poor and increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thy heart unto my knowledge. Apply thy heart unto his knowledge. That's what we need to do. And it's so important. The Lord is there to help us on every occasion. I want to go down back over here now to the 7th chapter of Proverbs and read the first 3 verses. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep them with us. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as an apple of thy eye. The apple of your eye. Remember, they used to talk about some young lady being the apple of some fellow's eye. He thought a lot of her. Well, we want to do that with the law also. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Write them on your heart. Know where they're at. It is very important to have them in your heart. We know when they talk about your heart, they're in your mind. And we know our mind drives us to do whatever we need to do and directs us. But that's very important. Now, over here in the 8th chapter, I want to read a few verses, beginning with 32. Now, a lot of this we could have read on through, and it has so much advice. Mainly, he's telling us in Proverbs and in Psalms, keep the commandments, do the will of the Lord. He tells us in a little different way sometimes. In the 32nd chapter, or the 32nd verse of the 2nd chapter, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions, and be wise, and refuse it not. Don't refuse that instruction. Be obedient. Blessed is the man that hearkeneth, that heareth me, watching daily at the gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now that's quite a blessing right there, isn't it? Favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's the death of the soul, which we surely don't want. We know that if the world did not truly believe in a resurrection and so on, if they just believe in keeping the commandments, being honest, it would be such a wonderful place to live. You know, we have the most wonderful time in history if we had obedience to the word of the Lord. How many of you can remember when you got up in the morning and you had to build a fire? I bet you some of the people that's been up north have done that. They've had to build a fire. Maybe didn't have too good heat all night. Now, the thermostat is set there. Some of them even got automatic thermostats. At 6 o'clock in the morning, it warms the house back up. 10 o'clock at night, it cools it down. You get up and turn on electric light. We can go to a grocery store, buy food that we never dreamt of. I remember when it come fall, you did not have a lot of the foods that we eat today. In the wintertime, you couldn't get frozen peas and corn and all those wonderful things. We have such a wonderful world to live in if people would just use it aright. But people are using it wrong. I want to go now to kind of a favorite scripture of mine. This is over in the 6th chapter. And I'm going to begin with the 6th verse here. And I'm sure that a lot of the ministry here can quote these verses. Beginning at the 6th verse in the 6th chapter of Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her way and be wise. Go to the ant. Which hath no guide, overseer, nor ruler. But yet they know what to do. Now in our hearts we know what to do. But that ant, and I don't understand how they know how to do this, or the bee, I don't understand. I don't think they went to obedience school. But have any of you ever kicked open an anthill? What's the first thing that happens? Those ants grab those little white things that look like little grains of rice, and they try to find a hole in that ground and take them down. Because that's self-preservation. And they will surely do it. And if you get too close to them, they'll make you wish that you hadn't. And this is the provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Gets all this food ready. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Those that aren't keeping the commandment, when will you arise and realize what you need to do? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. How true that is. A lot of people just sit and fold their hands, wait for something to happen. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they and thy want as an armed man. That poverty shall come. If we don't take action now, when are we going to do it? I want to go over a little further in this same chapter. I want to start here with I guess it's the 16th verse here, telling a few things that the Lord doesn't care much about. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. Lift it up in pride. A proud look. He doesn't like that. A lying tongue. And none of us like that. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I don't think any of us are going to do that. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, I don't really know what that would cover. I'm sure it would cover a lot of things. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. And you know, there's some people that just seem to delight in being able to get into some mischief and stir up some kind of a ruckus or some sort. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among his brethren. Discord among their brethren. You know, I have a cousin, and on the other side of the house, it would have been in our family, but his father's family, his mother, his grandmother. And he said that that grandmother delighted in getting all the kids together and stirring them up to where they'd get in big arguments and fusses. Now, I can't believe a thing like that, but he swore it happened. Sowing discord among the brethren. I don't like to hear fussing and arguing. Does anyone here? Not very well. No. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's surely good advice if we've got good parents. The fathers here wouldn't give their children a commandment that wasn't good. And not the law of your mother. She directed you. My mother directed me a few times. I remember when it would become time for a little punishment, which I probably only got caught one time in four. But my mother would send me after my own switch. We had Wellers growing up there. And you know, I never, ever brought the right one back the first time. Sometimes it was three times out there cutting a different willow and bringing it back for her to use. But she had a pretty good law. She directed us pretty well, I think. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Have them with us all the time. The law of our father and our mother and our heavenly father and heavenly God and Christ, we know that. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakenest, it shall talk with thee. Those things are with us all the time, the law of our mother and father that's directed us, and the law of God. For the commandments is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the reproofs of instructions are a way of life. And how true that is. If we follow those instructions, we're going to be happier. You know, really, the biggest thing we can have in this whole life is being happy and content. Riches are good, fine clothes, a good home, and all these are so important to us, and we love them. But peace and quiet, that's the best thing we can have. And I think of, I mentioned the sluggard there, but I think of another story. But I'm going to read Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and beginning with the first verse. And read a few verses here. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. And heaviness to his father, too, incidentally. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteous, now you say, well, that, but they're talking about eternal life. If we've kept the commandments, we will never die. I don't think people, sometimes I can't comprehend that. We may pass from this life, but we never really were going to have a life eternal. And I don't understand that. It's so far beyond my imagination. But he said it was good, and that's all I need to know. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. They're not going to famish. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. Now the sluggard wasn't doing that, wasn't it? But he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. He that isn't doing his job causeth shame. And I often think of that gathering. I always remember that little story of the grasshopper and the ant. I don't know, does people here, have anybody read that little story? You know, I talked to some of the younger people, and it's not in the book anymore. It's not there. But do you remember that story? You know, the little grasshopper, he had on his little top hat, a little jacket, and his violin, and he was hopping around and making fun of the little ant down there working all the time. Well, you're sure foolish. I'm just hopping around. The little ant worked and worked and worked. Then all of a sudden it got cold. The frost came. The little grasshopper's little old light jacket didn't help him very much. His violin was broken, and the leaves had fallen, and the grass had dried up, and he didn't have anything to eat, and he was standing out there shivering to death with icicles all over him. And there was the little ant down in his little house with his little fire and his little banjo playing, singing along, and just having the time of his life. He was happy. And what is it telling us here? That we have got to do what we need to do at the time we need to do it. You can't wait till day after tomorrow. If you're going to make a change, you know, like New Year's resolutions, I think it's a good idea to make them. But you just as well make one if you need to in September. If it needs to be changed, don't wait till January to start doing it. Do it in September. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. Oh, we could read through these proverbs here, and they tell us, and basically, you know, when you read the scripture, it tells us over and over and over what you should do. And we need to continue to read it over and over and over. And I often think, you know, as young people, we often done some things a little foolish. Sometimes we get older, we still do some things a little bit foolish. But if we are someplace that we shouldn't be, doing something we should not do, it would be hard to pray and expect God to hear us, wouldn't it? Now, there has been several times, and I've told you this before, I think, and I've had other people tell me about it. I've been upon the highway driving on slick roads, and I did not have time to ask for a great lengthy prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. I didn't have till November to do it or something. I had it that instant. And you know he did. But if I'd been out there reveling and drunk and driving, it'd have been a little hard for me to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When I hadn't been doing that which was right. So if we're where we shouldn't be doing that which we shouldn't do, we better figure out what we need to be doing. And be in a position to where whenever you need to call on the Lord, he'd be there. I often think of that old song. I think that Roy Acuff used to sing it. Telephone to Jesus, he's always on the line. See, I didn't sing it. I spoke it out for you. I promised I wouldn't sing for you. But telephone to Jesus, he's always on the line. 2 o'clock in the morning. How many times have you woke up in the middle of the night and had a child sick? Did you start to pray? You bet you did. And you knew that line was open. And there was somebody up there listening to you. I remember one time when Patsy and Dwayne had both got the measles. I checked Dwayne's temperature. It's up about 104 or something like this. It was, I thought, outrageously high. And Patsy was sick. And so I called the doctor, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, old Dr. Gould. You know, he answered the phone. And he says, I'll be out there in about a half an hour or so. He said, I've got to go see your mother. My mother had been in the hospital and she had infection in her head. That's when the doctors went out and seen people. Well, about 6 o'clock, he got over to my mother's place and he stopped at our place. He was there to help. And I remember the doctor told me, he says, well, he's got the measles and he's got pneumonia. I said, well, you think we ought to take him to the hospital? He says, no, if you'll take care of him here, he's better off here than anywhere in the world. You keep his temperature above at 102 or a little better. Don't let it drop below 101 because the measles won't break out. And if it gets over 104, we're in danger of pneumonia. Well, I spent several days there looking after him and surely looking after Patsy. You know, they got well. But I knew someone to call. But you know, you pray first. That's the time you start praying, even before you call the doctor. He was on the line. And I guess Dwayne made it all right. He's here yet, so. I don't know whether I was a good doctor or whether the Lord blessed us. I think probably a little bit of both. But we've got to seek the Lord often. I want to go in Mosiah for a few verses. In the 8th chapter of Mosiah. And you know, you read in here, oftentimes you wonder, which is the greatest book in the Bible or the Book of Mormon? And I read one, I said, my, that has so much good in it. I think of the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. It's a great chapter. Or the 13th chapter. And then I read over somewhere else, and there's a great chapter. In the 8th chapter, beginning with the 79th verse here, this might be just a little different what I've been talking about, but I think it all pertains to the same thing. And now, if Christ had not come into the world, speaking of things to come, as though they had already came, there could have been no redemption. Now, this is about 150 years before Christ was born, that they had been shown what was going to happen, that Christ was going to come. And they told the purpose of it, and so on. And if Christ had not risen from the dead, or have broken the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory, and the death should have no sting, there should have been no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Therefore, the grave hath no victory. Now, it's true, we're going to die, but the grave does not have a victory if we have kept the commandments. And the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world. Yea, a light that is endless. That is endless. Now, that goes on forever. People cannot, I don't understand endless hardly either, but it goes on forever. And can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless. And there can be no more death. That would be that's a wonderful thing to look forward to. Even this mortal shall put on immortality. And this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God. Now, everything's going to happen. If we've kept those commandments, we've followed our mother and father's direction and the commandments of the Lord, we're all going to stand there. But all those that did not keep those commandments are going to stand there too. To be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation. That's a frightening word, isn't it? Endless damnation. It's sure not as good as endless happiness. Being delivered up to the devil, who hath subjected them which is damnation, having gone according to their own carnal wills and desires, having never called upon the Lord while the arms of mercy were extended towards them. I think of the whole world. That arm of mercy is extended to them. You remember where he said, I would gather you as a chick, a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not? That's what these people did not do. For the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and they would not. They being warned of their iniquities, and yet they would not depart from them. They wouldn't depart from their wickedness. And they are commanded to, and they were commanded to repent, and yet they would not repent. And now how? And now had ye not ought to tremble and repent of your sins, and remember only, in and through Christ can ye be saved. Such a wonderful promise. Now I want to read over here into Romans for a few more verses. In the 6th chapter of Romans, I'm going to begin with the 12th verse. And here in the 12th verse of the 6th chapter of Romans, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Don't turn to lust. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't let them come upon us. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall ye sin because ye are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? Tell me obedience again, unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which was delivered you, being therein made free from sin, ye become servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. That is such a blessing. That's what we need to do. Now I want to go back over into Mosiah for a few verses here. In the 1st chapter, the 70th verse, on page 214. And now, my brethren, I would that ye should do as I have hitherto done. He is a righteous man. Now you do what I have done. You know, Paul mentioned that a time or two, that they should do what he'd done. As ye have kept my commandments, and also the commandments of my Father, and have prospered, and have been kept from falling into the hands of your enemies. They've kept the commandments, and the Lord looked after them. Even so, if ye shall keep the commandments of my Son, or the commandments of God, which shall be delivered unto you by him, ye shall prosper in the land, and your enemies shall have no power over you. And I know this is true. I'm sure Don could quote this for me, but I remember reading of Abraham Lincoln, and he said that if a righteous country, that no one could enter into our country. They couldn't cross the mountains there in the east. They couldn't bother us if we were a good people. That's just not exactly what he said, but that's what he meant. If we've kept the commandments, if everybody in this valley kept the commandments of God, there wouldn't be any enemy in the world that could walk in here and harm us. Nobody. They could stand 100,000 deep, and if the Lord needed to, he'd send hornets after them, or he would cause them to get confused and shoot each other. You wouldn't have to worry because the Lord would take care of it. But you have got to keep those commandments to have that type of a blessing. But, O my people, beware lest there shall arise contentions among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit, which was spoken by my father Mosiah. For behold, there is woe pronounced upon him who lusteth to obey that spirit. If we turn from it, I can't understand when people have prospered like they did in the Book of Mormon, and in the Bible too, they had blessings poured out upon them, and then they turned away from it. For if he listeth to obey him, and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation unto his soul. For he receiveth for his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. If we have been obedient, we don't have to worry about those things. And I often think of the many blessings that's been offered to us and the many blessings we've had. And they've come because we've kept the commandments, kept hold of that rod of iron. But, you know, that's the word of God. There's no literal rod out there to hold of. It's just his word. But it's more powerful than any steel rod that was ever made. If we've kept those commandments, we can turn to the Lord and pray to him and continue to progress in righteousness. And I often think that, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach the people not to drink for an hour, a day, a week, a month, and forever. You can do the same thing with sin. If we can keep from sin for 15 minutes, there's no one sinning in this room right now, isn't there? We go out to the... be any sin. If you can keep from doing it for an hour, a day, or a week, you could do it forever. And that is a long time. And then you can have eternal life. I want to read now again a few verses from Proverbs, in the 15th chapter of Proverbs. I'm going to start with the first verse here in the 15th chapter of Proverbs. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up to anger. I often think of the people that don't have a soft answer. I often remember a time, if you have a little kindness, that people, you kind of befuddle them sometimes. Dwayne and his family, and I think Patsy, I don't know whether Patsy was married at the time, we're going to California. And we stopped at a Stuckey's. I don't know if you know what a Stuckey's, I guess they still got some of them. They used to have some of the best pralines that was ever made, you know. We stopped there and bought a few things, and I bought something that I thought they cost 59 cents, and the man charged me 39 cents. I bought, I think, two of them. So I wasn't sure of the price. He might have had a sale on, so I waited. Dwayne bought some of the same things. Charged him 59 cents. And I looked at the man, and I says, you know, I believe you made a mistake on my order. He stood up pretty tall, you know, and I, what's the problem? And I says, you didn't charge me enough for these two things. You charged me 39, they should have been 59. Well, you know, the man didn't, his mouth moved a little bit. He didn't say anything for a minute. And pretty soon he said, well, an honest man, I gave him the money, and he was happy. And as I walked out the door, he grabbed three or four big candies and stuck in my sack. He said, that's for being honest. I could have walked out of there and had that 60 cents or 40, whatever it was, in my pocket. But I wouldn't have been honest. But when I spoke that, he was almost ready to fight back because he thought I was going to condemn him. But a soft answer turneth away wrath, and many times you can see this happen. But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know, that's true. I mean, you just can't hide. You can go down to the deepest coal mine in the world. You can go to Hawaii. You can go to China. The Lord's still there. He's watching. He knows what's going on. You don't fool him. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. And trouble, I hate trouble. That's such a horrible word, isn't it? Trouble, trials. I don't like that word at all. I like happiness and joy. And now I want to read what over in James, a few verses, and again, the most of the ministry here, and most of the people would probably be able to quote this for me in just a minute, because it's going to be in the fifth chapter of James. I'm not going to read all of that particular part, but as we well know, this is the administering to the sick, but I'm only going to read from the 16th verse here in the fifth chapter of James. And it says here, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Pray that we may be healed. And not only of the affliction that might be upon us, but our souls. That's the most important thing we've got, is our souls. But we need to take care of our bodies too, because this body is a temple of the Lord. And it says here, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Had you ever thought of that? He was the same passions, the same, some of the problems. He got cold, he got hungry, he got too hot, he got anything. Same as we do. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, if we just walked out and said, we don't want it to rain for 6 months and three years, I don't think the Lord would hear us. But if you had that faith and there was a genuine reason, it could happen again. As we see many times in Scripture, people prayed for things to happen, and they did happen. And they've happened today many times, too. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He prayed that it wouldn't rain because the people were unrighteous, and he wanted to bring them down in humility. And he was able to do it. I hope that that never happens to us, that we never have to be brought down by a terrible famine or great disasters. I hope that we can avoid those by keeping the commandments. But even if these things do come upon us, we know we've got something coming. We don't understand it, the mark of the beast. I can't tell you what it is. I don't think it's going to be very good. But the Lord said he would never leave us alone. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Now, this is just a little off of what we've been talking about, but if we convert someone, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save the soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. But if we are obedient, we've kept the commandments, we know that he's going to be there to help us. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, or if we're up out here in the desert, or wherever we are, he's going to be there. And when we ask for help, if we've kept the commandments, we can expect him to do something. But we've got to be obedient. Obedience is a very important thing. And it's not really too hard to do, as we well know. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob. We're going to close our service this evening with the use of number 320. Let's sing the first, third, and fifth verses. Shall we stand? Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our eternal Father, we come before Thee toward the close of this day. We do thank Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for the opportunity we've had this day to be together, to be in Thy presence, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, to hear Thy words rehearsed for us, to contemplate Thy goodness and majesty and Thy love for the children of men. We thank Thee, Father, for the Word which You have provided for us, that we might grow in understanding and wisdom, that we might draw near unto Thee. Help us, Father, as we leave this place, this fellowship that we enjoy, this companionship and the bonds of the gospel. Be with us each and every one as we go our several ways. Guide and direct and bless us. Lead us with your Holy Spirit. Feed us with your holy word. May thy Spirit bring to our remembrance that which is needed in our daily decisions and activities of life, that in all things, Father, we might be pleasing to thee, obedient to thy teachings and to thy word. Give us strength, for we realize and recognize our weaknesses. Continue to be patient and understanding with us, Father. Strengthen us that we might live in a manner pleasing to thee and worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless and lift the sick and the afflicted, the elderly. Be with those, Father, who stand in special need of spiritual blessings. Watch over and protect us until we meet again. We ask these things, giving thanks to thee in Jesus' holy name. Amen.